Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the first chapter of St. John, the gospel text which has already been read. And you might have heard Jim Fisher got fired this week. It's the way of things in the media these days. I'm surprised, quite frankly, that he lasted as long as he did. I know Jim Fisher. He's a Lutheran. Goes to Trinity in Davenport. And I first heard him on the radio back in the late 70s. And then we moved away. And then we moved back. And I'm driving along Kimberley sometime around the new millennium. And I thought they were bringing out the archives. But it was Jim Fisher live. And he sounded exactly like he had 30 years ago. And he did a rare on-the-air interview of me and one of my teachers from the Lutheran High School in Davenport. He goes to Trinity, Davenport. And I was surprised. He was very articulate. He used absolutely proper grammar. Not even one ain't. Did not say ain't. And I asked him about that, and he said, oh, that's my radio voice. And that's how I know Jim Fisher. And I know Aaron Rodgers from watching him play football on Sunday afternoon. And he used to be a confessing Christian, and his politics break left. And the last I heard, he and Danica Patrick were a thing. I've seen him play in person, but I've never met him. I've met Matt Harrison. He's the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Used to be on an email group with him. Exchanged a couple emails with him recently. And if I'm at Lambeau, I won't greet Aaron Rodgers, and he won't know me. When I went up to President Harrison last summer at the Iowa East Convention and patted him on the back, I'm pretty sure, don't know, I don't think he knew who I was. I sure knew who he was. And I do know Brian Saunders, our district president. And anytime I'm at a meeting, I'll sit down and talk to him. He's one of my three first-tier friends. And those are pastors who stayed with me throughout my CRM. When you say that you know somebody, there are different kinds of knowings. Not all knowing is the same. And when John here says that he didn't know Jesus, he didn't mean that he didn't know Jesus. There are, in fact, several different words in the Greek language translated known and know. And Jesus, John had known Jesus for actually quite some time. For how long had John known Jesus? Well, Luke tells us that when Elizabeth, pregnant with John the baptizer, met Mary, pregnant with Jesus, that John leaped for joy. That's a human emotion, by the way. Sounds like we're talking about a human there at that. We talked about this on Tuesday at Winkle. Circuit pastors meet monthly, about six times a year. And this month it was here, down there. We talked about exactly how well did Jesus and John the Baptizer know each other growing up. We talk about Bible things sometimes. John and James the Apostle, not the Baptist, the Apostle, are first cousins of Jesus, and probably you spend a lot of time with your first cousins growing up. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and Mary are said to be relatives. It's a very general term. If you're a Mueller from Taylor Ridge or a Rhodes from Moline, you're probably related in some way to me. So did they have family reunions? Who was invited? Who showed up? We know that the family of Jesus went up to Jerusalem for Passover. Did they get together with the priestly family of Zechariah, his wife Elizabeth, and John the Baptizer, their son? I wonder, did Mary seek out Elizabeth, or Elizabeth seek out Mary? Mary sought out Elizabeth when they were both with child. And as I mentioned, one of those children, John the Baptizer, leaped for joy. Then they had a conversation. And do we think they never even exchanged a text after that? Probably they did. couple, 3 years ago, I heard that my cousin Susie's daughter, I guess they call her Sue now, my cousin Susie's daughter, Bobby, was running the library in Sherrard. I didn't know who she was or what she looked like, just that my cousin's daughter, Bobby, was the director of the Sherrard Library. And then one day, I noticed a young lady at the library who was kind of acting like she was in charge. And I said to her, "Are you the director?" And she said, "Yes, she is." And I said, "Well, I know who you are. I know who you are." Not all knowing is the same. And Bobby and I had a nice chat. When Jesus came to John the Baptizer to be baptized by John, he did not need an introduction. John knew exactly who he was. How do we know that John knew who Jesus was? Well, how many times do you suppose John said to a person who came to be baptized by him, how many times do you suppose John said, like we heard last week, "I need to be baptized by you, but you come to me"? Oh, I know who you are. But John the Apostle tells us that John the Baptizer says, "I did not know him until he saw what he saw and heard what he heard when he baptized Jesus. Then he really knew Jesus." You remember when John baptized Jesus, the solitary dove descended from heaven and alighted on the shoulder of Jesus. Then a voice spoke from the sky saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And that was kind of an eye-opener. That was kind of an eye-opener. So John knew Jesus, and then he saw that and heard that. That was an eye-opener. Not all knowing is the same. We also talked on Tuesday about what it must have been like for Jesus to be without sin. Not ever in deed, not in word. He never even had a sinful thought. A case was made that such a thing would have been barely recognizable. People probably didn't even notice. Calmer heads prevailed. And yes, of course, people would have noticed that one sinless, solitary person, he'd have stuck out like a sore thumb. John had, by the time he baptized Jesus, been preaching for a while, and he has baptized Jesus by now, and it says here John bore witness. He says, "I saw the Spirit descend as a dove from heaven, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" At some point, in some way, John the Apostle tells us, John the Baptizer had been alerted by God that when you see what you see, that dove coming down from heaven, then you will know that you have, quote, "seen and have borne witness to the Son of God, who is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." And John wasn't doing that. Not all knowing is the same. You can know somebody, and you can know somebody. John knew all about Jesus. He knew Jesus, but when the Father did what the Father did, when the Father said what the Father said about the Son at his baptism, John's knowing of Jesus was taken to yet another level. Tell you what, if I was baptizing somebody here and a dove came down from heaven, it would come in through the door over there. It's been done before. That bat is dead and it's staying dead. If I was baptizing somebody here and a dove came down from heaven and lighted on that baptized person, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son," you'd kind of notice that, wouldn't you? In fact, if that were to happen, none of us would ever look at that person the same way again. Even if we've known him for years, maybe, we would never look at that person the same. Yeah, there's a Greek word for knowing, as in, "I know who you are, Gordon Ramsay, my sister, Jim Fisher, and knowing who you are as a person, comprehending, recognizing Jesus as the very Christ. John also talks about seeing. There are several Greek words for seeing, the perception of sight. I see that cloud up in the sky. To seeing, understanding what you see. Looks like rain on the way. John saw the Holy Spirit descend with his eyes, and he has seen and bore witness that Jesus is the Son of God. And the next day he looked at Jesus and said, look, understand, that's the Lamb of God. Understand, that's the Lamb of God. John said that. Look, understand, that's the Lamb of God, that man you see. He's the Lamb of God. He said that to two of his disciples. John the Baptizer had disciples. It means a student, people who learn from him, and not all teachers are the same. Classical rhetoric says that there are three modes of persuasion: ethos, the credibility of the teacher; logos, using your brain to compute truths; and pathos, emotion. It's okay to feel good. Maybe it's a desirable thing. It's okay to feel good about coming to church and leaving. Quite frankly, I don't care what this or that actor has to say about, for example, politics. I care as a matter of interest about the spiritual state of professional athletes, but they're probably not going to teach me much about either politics or religion. And I'm not interested in attending religion classes at most American universities because they don't have ethos credibility. Most of them believe it's okay to kill babies and for a man to marry a man. That's because they don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and I'm probably not going to move them from that. And no, they don't want to learn from me. The people who chose to learn from John, his disciples, they're believers in Jesus, whom John preached. And as Jesus becomes larger and John becomes smaller, it was by design, those disciples moved from John, who was about to be killed, to being students of Jesus. Andrew was a disciple of John, one of the two to whom John the Baptizer proclaimed, look, see, and understand that this man's the Lamb of God. And what did that mean to Andrew, the Lamb of God? Well, it's like if I pointed a stranger and said to you, look, see the pig or the cow, but Lamb of God? That's because we don't talk about lambs except when we're reading the Bible and Jesus talks about lambs. For Andrew to hear John, his teacher, invite him to look and see Jesus and to understand him to be the Lamb of God. Andrew, unlike us, Andrew would have immediately thought of the myriad of lambs slaughtered in the temple every day. He would have thought about the Passover lamb killed and consumed every year. But above all, Andrew would have thought of places in the Old Testament where it talks about the metaphorical lamb slaughtered for the sins of the people, who's not an animal at all, but a person. But a person. Like the hymn says, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could take away the stain of sins, but Christ, the Lamb of God, takes all our sins away. And then you get that snowball rolling down the hill as Jesus tells Philip to follow me. And Philip found Nathanael, who wants to know how Jesus knows him. And he ends up choosing 12 disciples and making them apostles. And those 12 would be joined by 70 others. And they wrote it down so that those who followed after them might know what they knew. Look at this man. It's Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Yeah, not all knowing is the same. You know things, and then you know things. You know people, and then you know people. You know about God, and you know God, and you will never, at least in this world, know God nearly as well as God knows you. But we keep at it. And I probably know God better today than I did 30 years ago or 2 weeks ago. Not all knowing is the same, and God knows all people. That's what it means to be omniscient. God knows all things, God knows all people, and God knows all about you, and God knows you intimately. God doesn't just know your name, address, age, social security number. No great shakes knowing those things. Even Google and Facebook and who knows who all knows all those things and more. God knows you like a perfect father knows each of his children, and fathers know their children, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah, God knows all about you. That one who was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit came and established what we call Christian baptism. And at your baptism, there was no dove. There was sort of no voice from heaven, but a voice sort of from heaven, probably from the pastor, saying your name and then saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That voice of God from heaven declaring that you have been cleansed of the bad and ugly, you have received the Holy Spirit, and now you are able to do the good, part of the family of God, one of his own dear children, and he knows you. And he knows you. He knows when you get up in the morning. He knows when you go to bed at night. He knows when you're at work. He knows when you're at school. He knows what you need, and he knows what you don't need. And his thoughts on that might be different from your thoughts on that. Every hair on your head, Jesus says, he knows about each and every one of those hairs on your head. He knows you. And there's forgetting people that we know. And we forget God sometimes, forget about him. God never forgets about us. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.